Armstrong.
Dick Armstrong.
Dick Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Attention, fellows and girls. Stand by for a Jack Armstrong sport flash and hear the actual voices of today's great baseball champions. Only 2 hours ago, the American League Yankees became champions of the world by defeating the Brooklyn Dodgers 3-1 in the fifth and final game of the 1941 World Series. Today, Jack Armstrong's salute to champions goes to the entire Yankee team for their championship performance throughout this exciting and hard-fought series. Every Yankee proved himself a real winner. Joe DiMaggio, Charlie Keller, Red Rolfe, Joe Gordon, and all the others turned in top-notch performance in every game. But here's a piece of news that ought to make you sit right up and take notice. In just a few seconds, you'll hear the transcribed voices of three of these world champions. First at bat is Charlie Keller. Charlie, I hear you've got two sons. Do they go for Wheaties just as much as their father?
One thing I've noticed about Wheaties is that when a ball player starts eating them, you're pretty sure to have his family having Wheaties every morning, too. At least that's the way it happened at our house. Mrs. Keller and my two young sons, Charlie and Donald, really go for their Wheaties. Fact is, the Keller family is for Wheaties 100%, and I think that Wheaties flavor is the reason.
Thanks a lot, Charlie Keller. And now, Red Rolfe. Red, how do you like your Wheaties served?
Both Mrs. Rolfe and I agree that bananas and Wheaties make a mighty fine breakfast dish. We've tried other fruit with our Wheaties, but we always come back to bananas. Of course, during the berry season, we like Wheaties and cream with raspberries. I guess you could say that we like our breakfast of champions with just about any fruit.
Well, thanks, Red Rolfe. And our next world champion is Joe Gordon. How about it, Joe? We know you're a great Wheaties fan, but we'd like to know just how you like those Wheaties served.
To tell the truth, I think Wheaties taste mighty fine with just about every kind of fruit. I've tried them with sliced bananas, sliced peaches, berries, and lots of other kinds of fruit, and I don't play any favorites. Just give me a bowl of Wheaties with plenty of cream and fruit, and I'm happy. Ask my family about that.
Thanks, Joe Gordon. Well, there you are, fellas and girls, the transcribed voices of three of today's great baseball heroes. Now, why don't you take a tip from these champions and start eating the finest flavored dish I know every morning? That means a big bowl of Wheaties with cream and your favorite fruit. Man, there's a dish that's packed to the brim with the swellest flavor you've ever tasted. But don't wait. Ask Mother to get you Wheaties right away, and then join the hundreds of champion athletes who eat Wheaties every morning. Remember, it's Wheaties, breakfast of champions. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American boy. Jack Armstrong and his friends are about to take off from the Hudson Airport in their amazing strato ship for the wild Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. They are going there on the pretense of searching the jungles for a lost city of the ancient Mayans. The real reason for their trip, however, is to investigate the activities of a sinister secret society of Central America called the Yami. They believe that the Yami, working with a lawless group of fortune seekers, is planning some drastic action which may seriously endanger the United States. Whisper has just returned from the Yucatan, bringing back a semi-precious stone containing a message in Mayan hieroglyphics, which was being sent all over Central America. An agent of the Yami has been desperately trying to recover that stone, but now Jack Armstrong is holding it in his hands as he stands by Uncle Jim's large stratosphere amphibian plane. Uncle Jim and Whisper are in the plane, installing the television scope, which records distant scenes on a small screen. And Billy and Betty are watching the sky for the approach of a small plane containing a most important visitor. Listen.
Gee, Whitaker, Jack, if that Professor O'Neill doesn't get here pretty soon, we'll be gone.
No, we won't, Billy. Uncle Jim will wait for him.
After all, he's flying here all the way from the east to look at that stone.
But why did Uncle Jim send for him, Jack? Uncle Jim was able to read the hieroglyphic message on the stone.
He could read the message, Betty, but he couldn't quite figure out what two stars the message referred to.
What suffering, catfish, Jack? What difference does it make if we don't know what two stars it referred to?
Well, it makes a whale of a difference, Billy. The Mayan priests used astronomy to fix their dates. And when they say that two certain stars or planets will be in a certain position at a certain time, well, that's fixing a date.
And we've got to know that date, Billy, or we won't know just when all this trouble is going to start down in Central America.
Hey, don't be so careless with that stone, Jack. Golly, you're holding it just as casually as though it were a piece of quartz.
They'll have a hard time getting this stone away from me, Billy. Look at it. Just like an egg made out of a precious ruby. And look at those hieroglyphics engraved on it.
You know, I've looked at them so often, I think I can even read them. At least I know what they say.
Well, shucks, we all know that, Betty. Let's see now. It says, obey him who brings this stone. When the fire star rides with the king of stars, the bearded gods of the east will come in thunder and lightning, and the feathered serpent will return.
But what it really means, Billy, is that there's going to be a lot of fireworks exploding in Central America soon, and the people had better look out.
I do wish that professor would hurry and get here so we could get started. Well, look, Uncle Jim and Whisper are stepping out of the status ship now. They must have the television scope all installed. Are we all ready to go, Uncle Jim?
All ready, Betty. As soon as Professor O'Neill arrives. Can't understand why he's late. Private plane left hours ago.
Well, I bet those fellows who tried to steal the stone from us have something to do with his being late.
But maybe those strangers heard that you had sent for Professor O'Neill, Uncle Jim. Maybe they prevented him from coming.
That's barely possible, Betty. I did send for him by radio to the university. They could have been listening in at the time, but it's not likely.
Say, Billy, why don't we get in the stratoship and turn the television scope towards the east? We may be able to see him.
Well, that's a fine idea, Jack. Then we'll see if Uncle Jim and Whisper have installed it all right.
Go to it. But first, give me that stone, Jack. I want to study it some more.
Yeah, here you are, Uncle Jim. Come on, Billy. Let's see what we can pick up on the television scope. No telling what we may see. Here, you go in first.
All right, Jack. Jumping, Jimmy. Just look at all the supplies we've got stored away in this ship.
Well, we're going a long ways, Billy. And we won't find stores in the lost city of Yucatan. Get in, Betty.
I wish we were 10 miles up in the air now instead of still waiting for that old professor. Oh, be careful, Billy. Are you sure you know how to work that television scope?
Oh, jumping crickets, Betty. You'd think I'd never even seen it before. I turn on this switch here and point the telescope to whatever I'm looking at. Then I turn the focus screw and whatever I'm pointing at will appear on this ground glass screen. See?
But there's nothing on the screen, Billy.
That's just what I'm pointing at, Betty. Just empty sky. Now I'll swing it around to the east. And if there's an airplane anywhere in that direction, why...
Hold it, Billy. There's something on the screen now. Here, let me adjust that focus screw a little.
Well, Billy, look. Look on the screen.
It's an airplane, Jack. It's an airplane flying this way.
No, it's not very clear yet. I'll try and get a better focus. There, that's better. Say, we can see every detail of it. It's a little cabin monoplane.
Oh, it looks so near. I bet I can see it with my naked eye.
Oh, I bet I can too, Betty. Say, that's funny. I can't see a sign of it when I look out of the cabin.
It's too far away to see much with your plain eyes, Billy. Oh, move over a little. Uncle Jim's coming in.
I think we've sighted Professor O'Neill's ship.
Oh, have you, Uncle Jim? Is it his ship?
I don't know, Betty. Never seen a ship before. As a matter of fact, I've never met Professor O'Neill before. I know him only by reputation. He's world famous for his knowledge of the ancient Mayans.
Oh, I can see the plane with my naked eye now, Jack. He'll be here in a minute. Let's get out to meet him.
Hey, get easy, Betty. Don't break your neck before we get started. All right, Billy, you're next. Watch our steps. Come on, Jack.
All right, Uncle Jim. Hey, I hope Professor O'Neill can tell us about those stars in the message. Look, Whisper. There comes Professor O'Neill's plane now.
Splendid. I always wanted to see a flying professor. I trust he's not absent-minded. I tried to step out on a cloud, you know, and find there was nothing to it. Frightful predicament, but...
can't you ever be serious, Whisper? Here we're going to learn something awfully important.
And I still bet my votes, Betty, that something will happen to him before he lands.
It'll have to happen pretty soon then, Billy.
I would, Jack, but that's the way things happen when the army are at work. But I fancy the learned professor is safe now. He's set his ship down. He's taxiing toward us.
Well, he's an excellent pilot for a professor. But then he's flown all over Central America investigating the ancient Mayan ruins. Watch it, Billy. Don't let him run you down.
I'm all right, Uncle Jim. Say, he's going to come right up to us.
Oh, look, Jack. He looks just like a professor. Professor. Why, he even has a long beard.
He looks too real to be true, Betty. But don't let him hear you. He's stepping out. He's trying to decide which is Uncle Jim.
I am Professor O'Neill. I presume
I'm Captain Fairfield, Professor. We're afraid something had happened to you.
And I'm still afraid something's going to happen, Jack.
Billy.
I understand that you wish me to examine a most unusual stone containing Mayan hieroglyphics.
That's right, Professor O'Neill. It's this red stone shaped like an egg. If you look it over...
What's the matter, Jack? Why do you look that way?
What's that doing? Oh, nothing's the matter. I just had a queer feeling that I've seen Professor O'Neill before.
But you can't have seen him before, Jack. Why, even Uncle Jim hasn't seen him before.
I know, but he certainly reminds me of somebody.
I say, Jack, he reminds me of somebody, too. Couldn't be the bearded lady of the circus, could it?
Oh, do be serious, Whisper. He's trying to read the inscription on the stone.
I suppose you can translate the inscription, Professor O'Neill.
Of course, of course. But I understand you have already translated it. Why do you want to consult me?
I couldn't identify the two stars it referred to. Perhaps you can.
Why do you want to identify them? May I ask why these stars are so important, Captain Fairfield?
I think they're important because they fix a certain date, Professor O'Neill.
A certain date? Date for what?
I can't tell you what the date's for, Professor. But it'll help us very much if you can identify those two stars.
I will do my best. The symbols for the stars are rather complicated. But I have a magnifying glass in my ship. I shall study the stone under the glass and see what I can find out. Pardon me a moment.
Why can't he bring the magnifying glass out of the ship and study the stone where we can all see him?
I fancy the old bird desires solitude for his profound study. My word, he's even closing the door to his ship.
Look, Jack. He's got his beard in the door of the plane. He's trying to get on loose.
Holy mackerel, look. His beard has come off.
Uncle Jim, look at him. He's not a professor. He's the parachuter who was here before.
Oh, he's going away with the stone.
Get in the stratoship, all of you. We're all set to take off. We'll follow him and see where he goes. Quick now.
Oh, Uncle Jim, you think we can catch him?
Of course we can catch him, Betty. But I don't want to. Not yet. Yes, get in the ship.
I get you, Uncle Jim. We'll follow him and see where he goes.
That's right, Jack. Come on in, Billy. We fly way up above him in the stratosphere where he can't see us. We'll keep him in sight with our television scope. And we'll find out where their hideout is in this country. Is everybody in?
All in, Captain Fairfield. I'll close the door.
I'll take the controls. Fasten life belts, everybody. Here we go.
Big adventure has begun with a bang. Suppose Jack Armstrong does discover the secret landing field to which the small ship is flying. What can he and the others do then? Well, there's one thing you can count on. They're flying right into the middle of the most exciting adventure that's ever happened to them. And you won't want to be left behind when they drop out of the sky to that secret landing field. No, sir. So listen in, all of you, at this same time tomorrow to another thrilling episode of The Secret of the Yucatan Jungle with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, if you want to discover how downright extra special good a breakfast can taste, I'm advising you to help yourself to a big bowl full of Wheaties. Those Wheaties flakes are nationally famous for handing out a winning flavor. And I want you to get your share of it. Put in your bid for Wheaties right away.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the brand.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. We have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Bye, Wheaties. The best breakfast food in the land.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.